a few moments tonight and go to the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Appreciate all the good singing tonight. And Acts chapter number 1, if you'll go with us there. If you're able to stand in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, we'll read one verse of Scripture tonight. Acts chapter number 1. I do want to say I heard the good reports of what a great service we had on Wednesday night. Amen. And appreciate the Lord just passing by. You know, God meets here on Wednesdays too, doesn't He? And I'm glad we still have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I'm glad we still have church on Easter Sunday night. And no other place I'd rather be than be in the house of God and celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. Acts chapter number 1. I want to read one verse of Scripture, a familiar text tonight, and then give you the thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart. Look with us in verse number 8. The Bible says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Father, Lord, I want to thank you tonight for all the singing and how it's been centered around Calvary and it's been centered around the resurrection. And we thank you for this day, Lord, this time of remembrance. God, when we remember the cross and we remember the sacrifice and thank God we remember the victory of the resurrection. And I pray now for just a few moments you would help us, Lord, as we prepare to go into this time of remembrance. I pray you'll take this message and speak to us and speak through us for the glory of God, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice with me here in Acts chapter number 1 that this chapter is easily divided into two parts. Verses 1 through 11 talks about the action on the Mount of Olives, and then verses 12 throughout the rest of this chapter talks about the action that takes place in the upper room. And of course, the book of Acts is a book of action. But if you go back to verse number 1, I want you to notice the confirmation in these first three verses here, because Luke is writing this epistle here, and he says, "The former treatise," talking about the Gospel of Luke, "have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." He is talking about the Gospel of Luke, and thank God there's the record, amen. I'm glad there is a record that confirms the birth, the life, and the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and there's a confirmation. We have the record of that confirmation. Then we have the recipients in verse number 2, "until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost he had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen," amen. So Christ is going to be taken up, but he's still got some men that's going to carry the gospel. Amen. And you know who we are today? We are a product of these apostles that preach the gospel. Amen. Some, they preach the gospel to others. Others preach the gospel to others. And from generation to generation, the gospel has had a rippling effect. And you and I are a product of the preaching that we read about in the book of Acts. Amen. And so we are the recipients of the gospel. Amen. And then there's the reason of this confirmation here. He said in verse number 3, "to whom also he showed himself alive," there's the resurrection, "after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And so there is confirmation of the resurrection of Christ. Luke talks about it here in verse number 3, that Christ showed himself alive with many infallible proofs. Amen. I'm talking about the fact that Jesus was alive then and the fact that Jesus is alive now. It is beyond a dispute. There is no debate. The jury is out. Amen. I'm telling you, it has been confirmed and it has been reported and it has been proven that Jesus is alive. Amen. And so there's the confirmation. And then in verse number 4, there's the command. He said, "and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye are baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence." And so there's a command that is given to the apostles to go and to wait for power. Amen. And so we see that command in verse number 6 and 7. We note the confusion. Amen. There's the confusion.
confusion in verse 6 and the clarification in verse 7. The Bible said, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So even after the resurrection, even to the Mount of Olives, they were still trying to figure out this thing about the kingdom. Now the reason is because they could not see the church. Amen. You know, the missing link in Jewish history in the Old Testament was the church. They could see the cradle. They could see the cross. They could also see the celebration, the coming of the kingdom, but they could not. They could see the crown, but they could not see the church. Amen. I'll tell you, when we come to Acts chapter number 1, the church is about to come on the scene. That missing link in Jewish prophecy is about, they're about to find it. Amen. And so there is the clarification. In verse 7, Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. Jesus said, don't worry about the kingdom that's going to come. He said, I've got another job. I've got another responsibility. And it brings us to our text tonight, and we'll note here the commission. Amen. You see, the disciples, the apostles, were given a commission to go into the world and to be a witness and to preach the gospel. Amen. The resurrection brought about a commission. They are to go and to tell what? That Jesus died, that he was buried, but verse number 3, that he is alive. After many infallible proofs, the resurrection, what we celebrate today, you know what it ought to do? It ought to motivate me. It ought to motivate you. Easter ought to motivate us to give somebody this week the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on world evangelism. World evangelism. You say, what does that have to do with the Lord's Supper? Two things. Number one, it's what God laid on my heart to preach tonight. And number two, the reason that we remember this and the reason we celebrate this day, the death, the burial, the resurrection, is because we have a story to tell. We have a story to share. We have a testimony to give. And may I say tonight, you and I must preach world evangelism tonight because it is the heartbeat of God. My friend, it is the burden of Jesus Christ. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is the responsibility of every Christian, and it is the greatest need that is in going on in this world in this very hour tonight. What I'm saying is world evangelism must constantly be on our heart. We must be willing to go across the street and go across the state and go across the sea with our money, with our giving, with our time. World evangelism, my friend, is real, and it is needed because there has been a resurrection tonight. Amen. And when I think about the men in verse number 8, these men, though they were confused men, they did not fully understand what Christ was doing nor what all he was saying. But they were also committed men. They were willing, even though they were not fully understanding, they were fully committed. They were willing to follow Jesus anywhere. They were willing to do what was ever necessary. Where he leads me, I will go. You see, tonight, we must be fully committed. We know more than they knew starting out. And if they can be committed, not understanding everything, but willing to just walk by faith and follow Jesus, how much the more should we be willing to give the gospel? I think you would agree with me tonight that these men's number one passion, their number one responsibility after the resurrection was to tell the world that Jesus is alive and that Jesus saves. Amen. And can I say that ought to be our number one passion? That's our number one responsibility now that we're alive and we've been resurrected, is to tell the world that Jesus is alive and that Jesus saves. These men were confused, but they were committed, and then they were commissioned. Amen. Our text tonight is the great commission given to these men on a personal level. And you and I tonight must take the Great Commission in world evangelism personally. What I want you to note in verse 8 is four simple things, and we'll be through. Number one, I want you to see these about the disciples, four things about them. I want you to see that, first of all, the disciples needed enlistment tonight. They needed to be enlisted. The Bible says in verse number 8, the Lord made his passion known unto them by saying, and he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. And then he said, to the uttermost part of the earth. What is Jesus doing in verse number 8? He's enlisting the disciples. He is telling them what they were to be. They were to be witnesses. He is telling them who they are to represent. And you shall be witnesses, he said, unto me. Amen. And he is telling them where they are to go. He is giving explicit detail of where they're supposed to go with this great commission. And says, sure, as he has enlisted them, these disciples, he has enlisted you and I tonight. We have the same responsibility to take the world the gospel. Amen. We don't owe the world an explanation on why we do this or why we do that. We don't owe the world an explanation to explain why we live a certain way or do a certain thing. But we owe the world the gospel tonight. Amen. They may receive it or they may reject it. But the Great Commission is not go and see results. It is just go. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And the best way that we can remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is by telling others what Jesus did for them and what he's done for us. Amen. You see, tonight, this is not a ritual tonight. This is a time of remembrance of what Christ did for us and what he did for the world tonight. This means absolutely nothing to the world. If you're lost tonight, this doesn't really mean anything to you. But we that are saved tonight, this is sacred, isn't it? This is holy. In a few moments, we'll give an invitation. I trust that you've already done that. But it'll be another opportunity to just search your heart and come and pray. It's a serious matter, isn't it, tonight? There's some that would opt out because of sin that's in their life, but I would encourage you, don't opt out. Get right with God tonight. Enlist, because you should want to remember what Christ has done for you. The disciples needed enlistment. And then the disciples, they needed encouragement. The Lord made his presence known to them in this chapter. And I'm glad that God makes his presence known to us. If we're going to be a witness, if we're going to tell others about Jesus Christ, we too must be encouraged, because that encouragement convinces us. Amen. And Christ wanted to remove all doubt. He wanted to remove all confusion. They didn't have to have answers to all the kingdom. They didn't have to have answers to the future. All they had to have answers to was what their responsibility was and what Jesus wanted them to do within that hour and when the time that Jesus had left them here on this earth. And can I tell you tonight, I don't have all the answers to life's problems. I can't see all the things that's coming down the road. And God's not going to give me all the answers to the future. But what he wants me and you to do is to be encouraged that, my friend, he sees the future. He knows what lies ahead. He's taking care of the future. And what we must do tonight is share the gospel with others. We must occupy till he comes and not worry about tomorrow. Amen. How does he encourage them? He encouraged them because he convinced them of the reality of the resurrection in verse number 3 for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. They saw Jesus for 40 days after the resurrection. And my friend, he convinced them because he encouraged them by the reality of the resurrection. None of the disciples, none of the apostles had any doubt that Jesus was alive because they had spent time with the resurrected Lord. Amen. And then he convinced them of the reality of his rapture in verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, when they beheld, notice he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. The same way that Jesus went up is the same way that Jesus is going to come back. The same way they saw him leave is the same way that you and I may see him come tonight. One, an encouragement. They was encouraged as he left. You and I can be encouraged as we leave. look for him to come. I'm saying Jesus is coming again. And my friend, he knew that they needed encouragement. And I would encourage you tonight to keep plodding on, to keep giving out the gospel, to keep telling others about Jesus. For this may be the hour. This could be the day. Don't you want to be found busy about the Father's business when he comes again? Amen. He encouraged them with the reality of the resurrection, the reality of his rapture, and the reality of his return. In verse number 11, the angels, as they were looking steadfastly into the heavens, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." I'm telling you, they was encouraged that Jesus would come again. I want to say we must be encouraged because Jesus is coming again tonight. And the disciples needed enlistment. And the disciples needed encouragement. And then the disciples needed enlightenment. The Lord made his plan known to them in verse 8. Look at verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me," here it is, "both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The area that was familiar was Jerusalem. The area that would have been friendly to them would have been Judea. The area that would have been forgotten would have been that of Samaria. And the area that was foreign was the uttermost parts of the earth. But Jesus covered it all. You know why? Because the gospel covers it all. Amen. I'm telling you, the gospel goes to every region. The gospel goes to every doorstep. The gospel goes to both sides of the tracks. The gospel goes to every heart. The gospel goes to every man, woman, boy, and girl. Anybody can be saved. Under my friend, that is the hope, and that is the good news of the gospel. From the jungles of Africa to behind the Iron Curtain, from Red China, thank God, to the my friend, to the northern camps and the glaciers, to America, from continent to continent, from east to west, from north to south. The gospel knows no boundaries. It knows no limitations. And the enlightenment is we must carry the gospel to them. Amen. You cannot preach the gospel to the wrong person. And tonight I would encourage you and I, as well as enlighten us, that we must go to the places that are familiar, those places where we're received that are friendly, but we must go to the forgotten places, and even to the places that are foreign. One of the reasons God has blessed this church so is because that we support missionaries. I appreciate the sacrifice of giving weekly, biweekly, or monthly, however you give, to missions. I know that you do not give that for me, nor do I give it for you. But world evangelism, we must go, but we must also give. We must give of our time. We do that on Saturdays. We do that with tracts. Number of tracts have been handed out. Junior class has handed out over 1,200 tracts this year. Isn't that a blessing? I appreciate the young people. I appreciate the fact that we have to fill the track rack up on a weekly basis. No dust on the tracts. Amen. It is not a wall decoration, but it is a tool in giving the printed page, because the printed page can go where you and I cannot go. Somebody told me just last Sunday that they went to the doctor's office, and they were sitting there in the lobby at the doctor's office somewhere in Chattanooga, and they saw a tract laying there, and they picked it up, and guess what? It was from Bible Baptist Church. Amen. Somebody else had been to the doctor and had dropped the tract off, and they found it there. I'm telling you, the gospel goes. The gospel, the printed page never stops witnessing. The printed page is never fearful. The printed page is never biased. The printed page will stay longer than you and I can stay. The printed page will track others down. We must give out the gospel because we have the good news. We've been enlightened, and we must enlighten others about the gospel. We must tell people everywhere you go. I remember Sister Batty Coleman. She sat here one time giving a testimony. She said to me, said it to me personally, but then she said it publicly. I reckon it was bearing on her mind. She said, "Preacher, if you hear tell that I'm at the grocery store going down the beer aisle. She said, I'm not buying beer. She said, but the Lord put it on my heart when I was grocery shopping to go down through there and to put gospel tracts in all those beer boxes so that when a drunk buys them, they'll get the gospel. You know, I'd kindly be nervous to do that myself, because sure as I did that, somebody would take a picture and they'd put it out on social media. But Sister Batty, she was old enough, I mean, you know, she could get by with that. And maybe somebody else can pick that up. Don't pick the beer up, amen. But I'm telling you, somewhere I think we're going to get to heaven one day and somebody's going to introduce himself maybe to her, maybe to somebody and say, you know, I was over there at the time it would have been the Buy Low. I was over at the Buy Low and I bought a 6-pack or a 12-pack or a 24-pack of beer. And I tell you, when I got home, to my surprise, I got more than what I bargained for. I opened it up and inside was a gospel tract, and I read that gospel tract and got born again and change fountains. Amen. You say, I don't know if that happened. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The gospel's got enough power. If some old drunks read it somewheres and got under conviction, I believe, thank God they somebody got saved. You say, how do you know that? Because you can't sow seed and not reap a crop. Amen. And that's good seed. And somewhere somebody's going to receive the gospel. Amen. Give the gospel. Enlighten others. Tell others about Jesus. Spread the good news. They needed enlightenment. And then finally, notice this. The disciples needed enablement, because they could not do it in their own power and their own strength. But Jesus said, but ye shall receive power. It was not in a power for an experience. It was not a power for their to have an emotional high. But it was power to be sent. The power was to give them the ability, to enable them to do what they were not capable of doing. That's a tall order, isn't it? Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. I remind you, there was no missionaries when they got that commission. They were the missionaries. There was no churches to support them. There was no means, but they just started blazing a trail. And they did it. They turned the world upside down with the gospel. And if they can do it, we can do it. You say, Brother Gravely, you believe we can carry the gospel to all the world? I believe it is being done. But the question is not, we must be a part of it. We cannot witness to people in our own strength and our own power. Burdens are borne at the foot of the cross. You might be here tonight, and just to be honest, you might say, well, I don't really have a burden for sinners. There's only one way to get a burden, and that's to start going. You don't get a burden in the recliner. We don't get a burden in the office. We don't get a burden sitting at the house. Our eye affects our heart. We pass sinners all day, every day. How you get a burden is giving the gospel to them. Looking for the door, looking for the opportunity, looking for that place of witness. Every person that comes in our path has been brought there for a purpose. And there's no greater purpose than the gospel. A word, not everyone will receive it, but we must give the gospel. Power was going to be sin. It was going to be spiritual. The power that they were going to receive was from above. And that power was going to be seen, because Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. There would be no denying. And isn't that true? Because the Bible said that they said about them that they are ignorant and unlearned men. But they took note. They had been with Jesus. You know, I'd rather be seen as ignorant and unlearned in the eyes of this world. But for them to take note that I've been with Jesus. How did they know they had been with Jesus? By the power of their witness. You know, the greatest tragedy for me and you is to be around our family or to be around employees that we work with and them not know that we're a Christian. We must tell them. We must witness to them. This is more than just remembering. But it's remembering what he did for us and what he did for those who do not know tonight.
And can I tell you, after all these years of being saved, I don't know if you're this way, but you probably are. I don't even know why I'm this way. Brother Laddie, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, give that person a track. And you would think that would just come so easy for this, but it doesn't. There's that little hesitation sometimes that creeps up in there. And I've learned if I don't just do it right then, if I don't just get past it, well, I'm telling you, it's shameful, but it's truthful. It's very easy to talk yourself out of something. Say, well, it's just not a good time. Wait, well, they're busy. You know, they're working right now. Whenever Edward Kimball, his personal testimony on the day that he went to lead and led Moody to Christ, Kimball said that all the way that he was going down to the shoe shop, he said he was so troubled, he was so torn up inside, whether to go in and give the young man the gospel. He said on his way down there, as he walked down the street, he said that his mind kept playing over and over, well, what if he embarrasses the young men and the other young men that's working there thinks that he's trying to make a good boy out of him? Then the other thought that crossed Kimball's mind was, well, it's work hours, and what if I go in there and I get the young man in trouble or it's not received well because it's not a good time? And he was so overwhelmed with that, he said he walked right past the shoe shop. And said when he realized he walked past, he said he turned around and very quickly, without question, he just darted in. He walked to the back of the shoe shop where Moody was at, and he said he walked up and he put his foot up on a box. And he put his hand on Moody's shoulder. And he said he began to tell the young man about the love of Christ and how that Christ loved him. And this is what Kimball said. He said it seemed that the young man was just ready to receive him. And there in the back of that shoe shop, a Sunday school teacher led one of his pupils to Christ, who became one of the greatest witnesses this country has ever known. D.L. Moody shook two continents with the gospel, built Sunday school classes, pastored a church, preached revival meetings, built Northfield for homeless boys and girls, and sent out missionaries around the world because one Sunday school teacher got beyond his fear to give the gospel. I want to say tonight, I do not have the power to witness. But I know somebody who does. I don't have the words to witness, but God can fill my mouth and give me the words. I don't have the discernment, but I know somebody who does. Tonight, as we remember this time and we remember what Christ did for us, let's also remember tonight the greatest need of the hour is world evangelism. Given to missions is the greatest investment you and I can ever make. The only thing we can take with us when we leave this world is our soul and the souls that we have won to Jesus. That's all we can take. And the Bible says that life does not consist in the abundance of things, but sow the gospel. Share the gospel. If you're saved tonight, make it your lot to give somebody the gospel this week, to tell people about the Savior. To reflect, let Easter not be, let the Resurrection Sunday not be something that we just do today, but something that we celebrate tomorrow by telling others about Christ. I'm going to ask Sister Allen to come.